I remember us getting like 16, 18 inches. And I remember me and some of my buddies would always play around the snow with four-wheelers and stuff and go out for a while, come back in and get warmed up, go right back out and some. Anyway, but yeah, it's a little bit different, seems like, but anyway, so that's but I guess everybody's got, growing up when they're driving, they get more scared and they're afraid to drive out in it, I guess. So anyway,
I did hear that the roads were slick last night towards like where the high school is, like a little past that,
right?
On would the road be there all on your way to Kirby's Corner? I don't know. I forget what that road would be. But right there at the Y, if you go past there, I heard that it was really slick past there.
Of course, that's going toward Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury, yeah. And then I heard that it was more snow in Hardinsburg than it was here. I didn't see anything too crazy. But I heard stories.
No, that's it's all good, I guess. But, it's but it is chilly out there this morning, that's for sure. So, anyway, good to see you, Hannah.
Yeah.
I hear y'all getting ready for the big play coming up, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Friday, 7 that evening. And if you want to get in the contest, 6:30.
Yeah.
Have it dropped off by 6:30.
Right, right.
We have some pretty we have some pretty awesome judges.
I was talking to a few people last night. Of course, a big win for the boys last night. The boys won last night. A big rival, a legacy. They was able to get the win last night. So then I was talking to a few people, and Jeremy. I was talking to Jeremy a little bit, and he was telling me about. He said, "Yeah, I'm going to enter this or enter that." So,
but talking about the contest,
Or whatever. So then, of course, we've been announcing it also there at our church. So hopefully, be a few people then. My wife told me last night that we get our grandson this weekend
because
my daughter and my son-in-law's got a few things going on. So she said, all right, so she's already debating. She said, what are you going to wear to the play this weekend? So, all right, so.
Like, what's the baby going
to
wear?
What's the baby going to wear to the play?
Okay, so at first I thought you meant what you're going to wear.
No, I ain't worried about what I'm going to wear.
Yeah, but I was thinking, man, he could wear something really cute.
But, yeah.
I mean, I already saw her little drummer boy thing where he's in the little ornaments. With
Did you?
On Facebook. That was super cute. He's, he's like in the his face in those ornaments. I was like, that's the cutest thing.
Well, leave it up to my wife to do that. So anyway, but she's got an awesome testimony about that tree, about the drummer boy. And then but anyway, then this year she put his little face on there. But if you're just scrolling through it and don't really pay attention, you can't really tell it. But now if you look at it, you can see that the face rider, my grandson, he's the face of the drummer boy this year. So
now on my little brother, he loves Spider-Man. He loves a lot of different things, but they decided to make their own ornaments. He wanted to just basically hang his toys in the tree, so they made, and he was wanting to buy these expensive ornaments.
Yeah.
So they made their own of his favorite toys and put them on the tree. And I saw it and I said, wow, these are cool, because I was wondering, how did those get up there? I thought they were just kind of sticking in there, but they had made their own little ornaments with some of his favorite toys.
Yeah, I hear you. So, no, we had a, already starting. I mean, everybody talks about how Thanksgiving was late this year, it seems like.
It was already
December, and now we just got a few more weeks, and
I know
it happens again.
It's happened too fast, I feel like.
I know. So, but this time next year, you'll have a little one that have its first Christmas,
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I know. I'm kind of sad that he won't be here this Christmas, because I keep seeing all these cute, like the little drummer boy thing. And then I saw like a little photo ideas for your newborns. And there's one where you make like Christmas cookies and you take a bite out of it. And then it looks like it's like their little outfit, so you hold it up in front of them in the camera and it looks like they're wearing the snowman cookie or something. Or the gingerbread, like it looks like it's their head on a gingerbread cookie. There's all kinds of cool things you can do, but we're excited for that. And most important thing, I hope even with this Christmas play that we keep our, eyes focused on Lord more than anything. Because it's so easy to get distracted. It's easy to get busy.
Yep.
Even in the midst of shopping, I'm sure there's a lot of people who went Black Friday shopping. Those things are fun. Giving is fun, but if it's just easy to get caught up in the busyness.
Yep. But no, that's something that we used to do every year, but we ain't done it in a few years now. I mean, I was one of the ones that really, really liked it. I did.
It's fun.
I really did like it. But, for whatever reason, we've just decided, we're haven't, all right. And so
we haven't. We kind of took a break for a little while, but I will say this year I did go. I was slow. I was slowing the people down a little bit.
Well, that's very understandable.
This turkey is getting a little, it's growing bigger, but I will say it looked more like past years of Black Friday, because we went to Bowling Green and there were lines wrapped around in the cold, and it was pretty cold, but lines wrapped around the buildings and stuff outside of people waiting to get in. And we were like, we're not waiting. We're not that serious to wait in those lines. So we just kind of waited it out a little bit until, you know, it shortened up, but it reminded me of, you know, the way that it used to be.
Yep.
So, but what if we would wait in lines like that for Jesus?
I know it. That's right.
I can't help but.
I can't either.
I can't help but think about that. Yeah. You know, whenever it's time for anything that's like big and, you know, something that's really the huge talk of the season or something like that. Or we're willing to like, and it's not just now. I mean, people wait in lines for the newest iPhones when they come out, or the newest this or the newest that. But it's been nice. It has been nice. Before we go into the study, if we don't have any more announcements, just going through the Christmas story a little bit, like with this play, because it almost was like kind of similar to like the holiday, even though it wasn't in December. It was similar to the holidays because like people really were, I mean, the wise men traveled like super far to be able to see Jesus. And like the people who were paying attention and looking out for him and excited about him, like they would have went to these great lengths to be able to see him.
That's right.
You know, now some people had no clue what was going on and they didn't have a care, but it was cool. It's cool to just read back through that and to think about like the people who had waited their whole life.
Yep.
And expecting him, and then they got to see him. Even the story of the lady, I think her name is Anna, who was praying in the temple to be able to see him, and then the man that was able to, I think, I always forget his name. This isn't in the play, so
I got you.
But I think it's like Simeon or something. It might not be. I might be getting his name wrong. But the one who was able to see him before, or as he was a baby, and then he ended up passing away. He was so old. But just thinking about how some people, you know, back then they were that invested in Jesus, you know, how we could be more like that today.
Right. And I mean, we, you know, everybody talks about this season or whatever, and I know, growing up, maybe there are certain ones even now that don't really say they celebrate Christmas, okay? And I know you can take it to one extreme to the other on about anything, not just this season, but any season, really. So, I mean, still, I, like you said, we don't want to take our focus off what this truly it was. He born on December 25th, and we know that. We know he was, but still yet to know that, here's what I tell a lot of people. Even though we have so many people has commercialized it, they've made it about this or that, about this, you know, but see, yet during this time of season, this may be the only opportunity for people to realize, all right, what does this season represent? And I know for the most part, everybody thinks it's something else, but if you think in general, when they think about Christmas, they think about Jesus laying in a manger. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just where everybody, about everybody's thoughts can go there.
Because it's been celebrated for so long at this time, people look forward to it. And people that have never heard, it's a time for them to hear about Jesus.
That's it. I mean, if that's the only time they hear about Jesus through the year, you say, well, that's just one. But it could be the time of where the Lord really convicts them and draws them to him. Yeah. And knowing that he didn't stay as that little baby in the manger, but he came, he became a man, and he died for me and you all. Mm-hmm. For me and you are sins on the cross. And I mean, so, I mean, it's just so amazing, really. And I mean, this month, actually, the challenge was put out by one of our, one of the ones that goes to our church that, you know, and I think this has been done before, but anyway, I think it's great because they said, hey, let's read the book, let's read one chapter of Luke every day until, you know, Christmas. And then we'll be through the book of Luke, and it'll give you a refreshment of keeping your mind focused on what it's all about.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's great. I mean, you know, we'll probably talk about traditions that we normally do from time to time here on out, but I'm just loving every time I go to Luke chapter 2, ever since I can remember as a kid, My granny reads Luke 2 before we do anything there at their house. So for the last, as long as I can remember, of course, I don't remember the first few years, but probably for the last 35, 36 years that I can remember, that's something that she always does. And, I mean, it's just so very special. So, and every time that I read it, that's what I think of. I think of my granny reading it. Even though I'm reading it, I'm hearing my granny read it as I read. Because that's awesome. What we do. That's what we do. So, then don't forget, also, we got the Winter Awakening coming up,
Yes. And that's going to be coming up, I mean, right away. So that is actually not, I keep thinking it's next week, but, or it is next week.
It is next week.
It is next week. That's why I keep thinking it.
That's right on. So
it is. It's next week. So next Wednesday.
Yeah, the 11th and 12th. 11th and 12th, starting at 6:30, I believe is what Brother Aaron had said.
Yes.
Then also, I don't know if you'd seen this too, but I guess the Lord is really moving greatly at the river also, because they had great services there Sunday night, Monday night. So great they're even
going
on.
Did they extend it a little bit?
They extended it again tonight. So, I mean, awesome. I hadn't heard the name, I don't think.
Is that one Nortonville?
That's in Nortonville. That's where Pastor Howard Jones, he's pastor.
Okay.
There. And, of course, Brother Lance, he goes there quite a bit. And that's where we kind of got connected with him at.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then I think even Brother Lance put out yesterday that in 2025 they plan to go across America doing crusades.
Wow.
So I'm pretty excited about that, to be invested in prayer about that. So
the Lord is moving.
He is, and I know that even Sunday morning our service was a little bit different, but it was a great different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it can be different to where it's like, oh, I don't know about that, but mm-hmm. I'm thankful for what the Lord done there at Madrid on Sunday morning. So
amen.
He's moving through many people right now, and I want to be one of those willing vessels to be able to be used by Him.
Amen. So. Yeah, the latter days should keep getting better than the former days.
Come on now, that's right.
That's how Scripture
that's
works.
That's what the Word says. I mean, you know, but often thinking about the latter days, though, and I think often that, you know, always, you know, there's going to be a great gathering in, but then in the midst of that, it talks about a great falling away. Because
mm-hmm.
I believe people say, why is that? I believe it's because so many people that have been caught up in so-called church and just being that. So when it really gets tough and really gets to the remnant mm-hmm. part of it, it's like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because
it's
that is going to be it. It's the
weeding
out
and
of
the tear.
That's right. And that's right. So, I mean, you know, so I'm expecting a great gathering in, because I still know there's people that I love and people that I know that need to come to the knowledge and know who Jesus is.
It's a joyful time for those who are in it.
Right.
You know, who are all in.
That's
right. It's a time of great fear for the ones who are not. But I believe the ones who are not really won't realize that fear until later. Sadly, the ones who are mourning or sad is us who, you know, who have to watch people fade away.
Right.
You know, it's hard to sit, or not just sit and watch. We're praying. But, you know, to see someone choose that.
Exactly.
Path. But there's always joy in what the Lord's doing, and we just have to keep our eyes on Him.
Because
I don't think we talk about that enough. Now we probably need to get into Romans, but how it is hard, because when we have love for, you know, people like Jesus commanded us to, there's a sadness when we have to watch people go in the wrong path, and we've prayed, we've done everything we could do. It's between them and the Lord, but we have to watch them choose the wrong path.
Yeah.
And it does get heavy, so I think that's why the Lord, or Jesus, talks so much about casting our cares upon Him.
That's right.
Because He wants us to care about those people, but He doesn't want us to keep our eyes fixed there. He wants us to keep our eyes fixed on Him so we can keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it might be our best friend. It might be somebody close to us that falls away. I would hope not. I pray nobody's close
people. I know what you mean there. Yeah.
But it's real. It's real talk of things that will continue to happen as we get closer to the end.
So. Yeah, I was spoken at our churches this past week about perilous times. And, you know, and Sister Anna, I can remember all my life, as far as I can remember, hearing that preached. But, I mean, there ain't ever been a better time or a greater time to preach that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I often think about people that are saddened by those that aren't coming in. I think about, and I don't know why my heart goes there, but it goes out for a praying grandmother and a praying grandfather that have prayed for their kids, not only their kids, but also their grandkids. And those. I mean, just their heart breaks for them, because they know that not only is their time probably short, because as they get older, they see the importance of probably praying more for them if they don't see them come in. And I mean, it's just, you know, we've got a lady there at our church right now that, you know, they haven't, she's an older lady. She's in her 80s, and they haven't given her much more time. But I mean, I can't think more than how she's always prayed for me in the last 24 years that I've known her. I mean, she's prayed for me for safe travels. Every time that we go to Louisville, she'd always tell me every Sunday, every Thursday, I'll be praying for y'all in the morning because I know y'all going to be going to Louisville. And I mean, her grandkids and just those, and just the people that she knows that need to come to realize that they need a Savior. And, you know, I think about those. So when that happens and not here praying, who's going to step up? Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's people in her family that need to step up. There's people that I need to step up, of course. But I mean, still yet, those she's been praying for so long to come to realize that, hey, you know, I'm not going to be here forever.
Amen.
But I want to make sure that you're going to be with him also forever.
Yeah.
But anyway,
amen.
So.
Well, that was free. Everyone has to say
that. That's right. That's right. You're no charge right there, okay? Anyway.
Now, I think that's all the announcements we have. It, other than there's some other Christmas things going
on. Well, I was going to say, of course, a few people at the church said, you ain't got to announce that. But I said, I want to announce it. So on December 16th, we are having something there at Madrid on that Sunday night.
Wait, when are you singing? Are you singing? Is that the night?
That's the night.
They said you don't have to announce that.
No, but anyway, so the kids are going to do a very small thing, small thing. So, and then also I will probably be singing that night. So anyway, the one time a year they let me sing there at the church. Yep, that's what that's my song. So anyway.
Awesome. Well, sadly, I'm just going to tell everyone up front, we don't have our star of the show from last year, Colton. He won't be with us. He took a break from choir for a little bit. We're praying. Speaking of praying, we're praying him back into choir, but he has taken a step away. So he will not be doing his amazing Go Tell It on the Mountain.
My goodness.
So, but we have another one taking over.
Good.
Miss Paisley Miller.
Wow.
Jason's little Paisley, and she's been doing a fantastic job.
So I bet Jason's taught her how to sing, ain't
he? Oh, yeah. She learned from the best. Mary, did you know?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
So, well, let us get into Romans. I don't actually know. I have a verse tabbed, but I don't know what all they got into yesterday.
Well,
we could backtrack, because I'm in verse 14, chapter 14, not verse 14, chapter 1, oh my goodness, chapter 14, verse 1. I'm like getting it all backwards. So we can start there.
Let's go for it.
Yeah. So, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. For one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
I guess we should I'll read the next one, and then we can take a stop. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives God thanks.
That's right. Well, I just think it's so important for us to realize what everybody must do. You know, we can go to the one that says one man esteemeth one day above the other one to like, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. All right, so right now, today, when we go about our day, we've got to be fully persuaded. So then you go back to verse 1, him that is weak. What is a doubtful disputation? That is discernment. Disputation is, you know, if you want to look it up, 1253 in your Strong's, but that's a discernment that we must have. And I believe that that's something, Hannah, that in years past that I have I have struggled in with discernment. I have struggled with, you know, finding if this is be true or that be true or someone like that. But now my wife, I believe she has great discernment. But that's something that that's what I'm saying. There's people right now that are weak in the faith, even though we may not be weak in the faith. But there is probably times that in the last year where we thought that we were really weak in the faith. Why? Because maybe we didn't believe like we should have. But still, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we cannot doubt that.
It would be easy to think too. Now, when my Bible's talking about weak in the faith, it's making notes on having morals that are different and still having temptations for sin that the stronger brother doesn't.
Yeah.
And you would think that that would be like mostly newer believers.
Right.
But sadly, it's not always the case. I mean, there's always, you know, we're all running a different race, and there's some that have strongholds or sins or temptations that they've not been free from those.
Right.
Even if they've been a Christian for a while, I think there could still be those weak ones.
Yeah.
That, because it does seem like this is talking about sin, because it's talking about causing one to stumble or not to stumble.
Right.
So, whenever it goes into talking about not to doubtful disputations, there's, you know, a difference in conviction there. What you're saying about discernment,
good.
I think conviction is a good word too.
Yeah.
Because it goes along with discernment, because we're discerning what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I do like what this note says about whenever we're receiving people that have different convictions in questionable areas, receive them tenderly, recognizing their different convictions or practices, and let them alone. So don't let it become a divisive thing if it's something that's not, if we have that discernment of that it's not something we break fellowship over.
That's right.
Because if it's something we clearly break fellowship over, you know, and it's heresy, or it's something that Paul, you know, would mention that's something to break fellowship over, then we should go with our convictions on that.
Well, it talks about, you know, a stumbling block. Like, some people will put a stumbling block in front of this one, and they'll break the fellowship off. And I mean, if there's anything that's more true in the scripture for us as a body of Christ, it's to unify the body.
Yeah.
It's not to break fellowship.
Amen.
I mean, there's always things that we can talk
about. If possible, live peaceably with all men.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I mean, I try to be a peacemaker. And I know that, you know, people say, well, you're not going to make everybody happy. But actually, I know we're not going to make everybody happy in this world, because there's people that's not living right, people not doing right. But in the body of Christ, really in the body, in the true remnant is going to be together.
We should make all,
I mean, you know what I'm saying,
effort.
Right. And I mean, so I mean, is there things that probably we don't see eye to eye in scripture? And I talk about that all the time. People say, oh, I don't know about coming to a Pentecostal church. I say, well, what do you mean about you know, then they'll add this or they'll add that, they'll talk about this. I say, look, first thing I need to make sure is that you know that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that, you know, he come to save this world, and that his blood apply to your life, allows you to have victory in him. You must confess your sins before him. And I said, but then there's always more for you. There's always more for you to learn, and always more for you to do. But let's start at this one. Let's see that the Lord will draw you, because you can't, according to the book, according to the Word of God, Book of John, it says you can't even come unless he draws you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure that the drawing power is drawing you. You're not just coming because I tell you to. You're not just coming because I ask you to, but you're coming because the Lord's saying, all right, today's my day. You know, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I mean, I just think it's so, so amazing how, you know, that, and we do have different convictions. I mean, people do have different convictions, but still yet, you know, the heading on this one in chapter 14, it says, why dost thou judge thy brother? That's the question to the reader here. That's just something that this Bible, the heading of it before 14, because I believe so many people battle still yet with saying, comparing me, instead of comparing myself with the Lord, we always try to compare ourselves with somebody else. And if you're trying to, and I tell them people when I preach, and say, look, if you're trying to compare yourself to the preacher or the pastor or somebody else, then you're not actually doing the things that God has called you to do. And actually, you're supposed to actually present yourself unto him. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, I mean, we are supposed to judge each other's fruit, but I think that that is much different than judging as in to be a, you know, a judge as the Father would be a judge.
Right.
As far as almost being God, because something that my notes mention on verse 10, is that the verse you were talking about when you were talking about judging, not?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
So it's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, how it mentions that at the end. And we know that that will not be punishment, the judgment seat of Christ,
right,
of what we did or didn't do, but it'll be rewards for what we did do. And then everything else will burn up in the hay and the stubble for believers,
right,
you know? And so it'll still, I think it'll still, will feel the weight of that, of like the things that we didn't do.
For sure.
So it will be, you know, like a correction type.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we leave up to the Lord is, you know, for him to be the rewarder, for him to be the, that type of judge. But I think anytime that we are judging each other, it should always be for the edifying of the body, for building each other up,
yeah,
for keeping each other accountable to iron sharpen iron. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right.
Instead of more of a beat down or, well, yeah, you shouldn't be celebrating this, you shouldn't be believing this. You, those are what these kind of convictions I think it's talking about, yeah, is, you know, one might have this conviction and one might have this one. And it does talk about weaker, so it does seem to show that there are some that are not necessarily that they're like less than, like,
yeah,
worse Christians, but maybe they get tempted easier by different things because,
right,
of their past or because of, I don't know what reason. Sometimes our flesh just gets tempted and enticed by things that others don't.
Right.
And we have to set up those guards for ourselves in that time instead,
yeah,
of just giving into it and saying, well, they put the stumbling block in front of me,
yeah,
and blame the ones, you know. It's wisdom, I think, for those people,
yeah,
to not want to be a part of something that's going to lead them into what they feel like is sinning.
Right. And
so,
I mean, and if it's something that becomes tough for me to get through, then I'm not going to go to the place that's going to offer me more temptation. If you've been somebody that's been delivered from this, well, I've been delivered from it. Yeah, but that don't mean you need to go back to it. Because, I mean, we're still in our flesh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So don't surround yourself with those kind of people. It's like almost everybody says, when you become a child of God, you can't go back to your old ways.
Yeah.
You can't come back to those ways.
Well, so, we've talked about, like, evangelism at the bars and,
yep,
the strip clubs. I mean, I'm being...
Come on. No, I mean,
being
just, I see what
real,
you're saying.
We've talked a little bit about that, and, you know, people will say, well, those people need reaching too. And that's true. They do need to be reached, but the Holy Spirit will always open the door in the best way possible.
That's right.
It might not always be in the club,
yeah,
or in the midst of it. It might be outside in the parking lot. It might,
that's
be
right,
at a store. I mean, he, you know, he met the woman at the well, not the,
right,
he didn't meet the woman in the place.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that he wouldn't go in there and pull somebody out, because I believe he would.
Right.
But I believe that the Holy Spirit always leads us into truth, always leads us into the right, the wisdom,
right,
of the Lord. And I just think that if we follow him and we use our wisdom instead of letting our zeal be stronger than our wisdom,
that's right,
then we'll probably keep ourselves out of trouble more,
yep,
when it comes to those things.
That's it.
So,
well, here we are. We've done blown by 30 minutes already. So
yeah.
I guess we'll get ready to go to break.
Come back. Kingdom Corner.
All right, we'll be right back after.
All right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. Love that song playing over the break. One of the many great Christmas songs of the season, Christian music that's Christmas based. I have really been wearing it out already. Phil Wickham's Christmas music is really good,
yeah,
really good. But there's so many good Christmas songs,
yeah,
that are centered around Jesus and all of the more Christian type songs. So
yep,
I would encourage you to start listening, start getting in the,
that's
in
right,
the mode, because it's a fun place to be. It keeps me. I like to listen to it when I'm cleaning and just I can't really listen to it in the car because my little radio thing is broken. I love it. But I do want to get out the trivia question. So we'll try our best to get it answered when you call in. But we want to make sure to get these out today. So first Tuesday question number one, how old was Abraham when he died? How old was Abraham when he died? We're getting the numbers back in here.
That's all right. And they can call in now, I think. I mean, somebody can answer the phone now. So if you want to call in.
So 270-257-2689. Before we go into Kingdom Corner, you can call in and try to get that in there. If you know how old Abraham was when he died.
That's right. All right.
I'm just glad I read the right question because I've been known to read the wrong one.
That's right.
And then it throws it off.
Well, oftentimes when you're not the one that actually does it, we're trying to help out Brother Aaron. We're trying to fill in for him today. So then it's like, whoa, hang on. What am I supposed to do here? Even though we've been here for a couple years now.
It's like, just your eyes like to play tricks on you.
Yeah, that's it.
So, but we're very thankful for Brother Denny, who does these questions, and Sister Gretchen. She's done them for, so long and does such a good job on them. And I know it gets hard to come up with. I mean, even with Kingdom Corners, you know, coming up with different questions and things like that, topics, you start to go around and come back to some of the same ones, and it's hard to keep it fresh sometimes.
I can attest to that with the manna. And I want to keep it going. Of course, I'm going to keep it going, but sometimes it's like you said, but then again, who are we talking about here? We're talking about Jesus anyway. So, I mean, then I think, okay. But then I was late. Actually, last night I didn't do it till late, or I didn't post it probably at 5 or 6 o'clock. But I know one time about a month ago, I didn't post one that morning. And normally I post it there at 8 o'clock every morning, Monday morning. Now I'm kind of getting a little bit past because other things or whatever. And so I got a text and said, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. Why, what's up? Well, I didn't see manna this morning. I mean, come on, why ain't you put it out yet? So I was like, oh, man. So then I hurried up and tried to get it all together. So anyway. But
Well, I did. I got a text in here asking about the trivia. Has it started a new 2 weeks yet? I'm not sure on that. Every time we have like a Thanksgiving break or something like that, sometimes it's a little bit different.
Right.
So I'll have to double check on that. Just to make sure that we get it right.
Because
sometimes we'll kind of extend it a little bit longer since we didn't get those last few days in there.
So.
But we'll let you guys know, and we appreciate you all getting your trivia winners in there and your answers. It just keeps it fun. It keeps our minds fresh and refreshed. So,
of course, I guess it's just being a host. You really don't. I don't call in as much anymore on the trivia. But I remember that used to be the thing for me, man. I mean, I loved it. I mean, back when
Greg don't let the hosting hold him back.
Look who got it right this morning. Sister Mary Vincent got it correct.
Oh, cool.
Amen. Good job, Sister Mary.
So she got that right. It was 175 years old.
There you go.
Found in Genesis 25.
And I know that I do know this, that Sister Mary actually looks it up and backs it up with her Bible and just don't ask Suri what it was. You know what I'm saying? So I know she does it supposedly the correct way. Is that right?
She's one of the, she does it the old school way.
So we're thankful for Brother Ernie and Sister Mary listening this morning. So
and that comes with time. You know, I'm sure like the ones who've been doing the trivia for a while now, you know, they may not have got the questions as quickly in the beginning. It might have taken them longer to get it. And then now that we do have, you know, where we can search it and find it, it is okay to do that because you're learning.
Right.
And eventually you'll get to the point where you'll remember that you learned that through box two, even if you looked it up, and the next time you won't have to look it up. So there's no shame in it.
I know this is crazy too. We'll get ready to get a Kingdom Corner, but just like finding stuff in your Bible. You know what I'm saying? It's like you don't know where it's at, but you know roughly about where it's at in the page. I can't explain it, but I don't know if anybody else does that too. Just the feel of your Bible.
Like knowing how far it is in the Bible.
And it's just like roughly, well, I can't remember exactly where it is, but when you start turning, that's where it's at. And so,
I guess that's muscle memory that comes along with, you know, flipping. Now, the kids in chapel, they get really frustrated sometimes because they still are getting the hang of, you know, flipping to the right places, even using their little guides, you know, that tell them, on which pages, which ones, and how far. And there's some of them that they're pretty good at it, but there's some that are still learning, and they're like, man, am I ever going to win? Because we do like a little competition of who can turn there the fastest.
Okay, like a sword drill, they call them, or whatever.
Yeah, and so some of them are like, am I ever going to win? And I'm like, yes, don't have the mindset that you're never going to, the more you do it, the more that you'll, you know, practice makes perfect.
That's right. So, that's right.
But it's just funny. It's funny to think about back when you were first learning to do something like that, you know? And so, but we will go to Kingdom Corner. I'm going to go to Matthew 6, and this actually goes along with some of what we've been talking about in Romans. So verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great the darkness. So, I love the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, right.
Because there's so much, like, practical truth in there, but it's also really profound and makes you, when you really start thinking about it, you're like, wow, this explains so much. Like,
that's it.
And then you're going to read it again and be like, wow, I never caught that. But when talking about, I mean, first of all, you know, this right here reminds me of Colossians 3. You know, set your mind on those things above.
Right.
It also reminds me of 1 John because, you know, we're doing a study on that. So it's fresh on my mind. We're doing a study, like, through Sunday mornings. Aaron's been going through that.
He started that Sunday, correct?
Yes. Yeah. And they talked some about that yesterday here on the broadcast. But it just reminds me of when he's talking about the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Because all of 1 John is talking about, now that you have believed, now that you're in the faith, you're in the kingdom, now is time to let the light take over your whole life. Like, it's time to walk in this. There's no turning back.
Yep.
There's no trying to have both darkness and light, because light and darkness can't coexist. And I think that's what it's saying here is, if the light in you is darkness, how great the darkness.
Yeah.
So it's almost saying, like, you can't have both. Like, that's what I see here is, if the light in you is darkness. So it's either you have light in you or you have darkness in you.
That's right. One or the other.
And there, I think that really can clear up a lot of things for us, because, you know, the enemy tries to come for our identity. He tries to, in our flesh, you know, there's fears, there's feelings of doubt, lots of, you know, doubting, well, am I really saved? Or how could I really walk this out like Jesus whenever I'm in this old rusty body, this old sinful, you know, body that I have.
Right.
But it's part of trusting that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he has done the work inside of us. That although we might not see, you know, everything start to, we can't see our glorious body yet. We don't have that yet, but we have faith and we believe. And we see evidence in our life that our desires are different. I think that's one of the biggest things that that show us whether we're full of light or full of darkness. Where is our desires? Because then it goes back to verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Yep.
When you think about treasure, it's something that you treasure. It's something that is important to you. It's something that you want. It's something that you're focused on. And so where our desires are, I know it says where your treasure is, but I really think desire has so much to do with this, because it talks about the desires of the flesh and then the desires of the Lord. And what does the Lord say? You know, to seek him and to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul.
Yep.
And, you know, we think about David. He was a man after God's own heart. And that did, it, you know, he had, his heart was captivated by other things and he did have other desires. But he came back and he ultimately, I think his desire was for the Lord, because I don't think he could have been named a man after God's own heart if his desires were all for the world. Which is confusing sometimes to just look at the outside, because we see all the bad things that he did and we're like, it seems like his desires were over here. And at time to time he got enticed, but I don't believe he could have had the relationship. He could have had the worship. He could have had the lifestyle and the intimacy with the Lord if he was not full of light and full of desire for the Lord. His treasure, I believe, was the Lord. And if we read through the Psalms, we can see that.
That's right.
We can see that the treasure in the Psalms, I mean, the treasure throughout the whole Bible, because this is the revelation of Jesus and he is the Word. But he is the treasure.
Amen.
He's the pearl. He's the thing, the one thing that we're all like, he's it. And so when that's why even in 1 John, I talk about how I used to think that the keep yourself, little children, keep yourself from idols. I used to think like, why is that in there? Like, it just seemed like he just popped that in there. Yeah. And it was supposed to be somewhere else. Like, I don't know. It just seemed so random the way that it was worded. But I see now that, you know, he's talking about walking in the light and having fellowship with the Lord and all of these things. And the Lord being our number one. And then even in these verses, the, you know, our whole body being full of light if our eyes healthy. And then thinking about, well, what keeps our eyes from him? Idols. That's what keeps our eyes from him.
Right.
It's when something else starts to replace him and we start to make our own God, whether it's ourself or, you know, the other things.
Yeah.
So I think it's just important, because whenever we have idols, whenever we're full of darkness, we're focusing on this world and we are laying up our treasures in this world. Our treasures are the things that we have, the things that we can hold in front of us, the things that our reputation and our success and all of these things that aren't bad things. They're that God can use those things, but
yep.
Are we wanting those things for him, for his glory, or for our own glory? And because we just love those things so much, that's where in the kingdom, it's like, there really are things that aren't so, black and white. There are things that aren't so like, this is bad. You can never have this, or this is good in these. Listen to what I'm saying is that, it does depend on where our treasure is.
Come on.
Because if our treasure is the Lord, if our focus is on him, if we're laying up those things in heaven, he's going to be able to trust us with more of those earthly things. He's going to give us more resources. He's going to give us more finances. He's going to give us more children, more responsibilities, all of these things that to the world may look like, wow, they're a really successful person, or wow, they really are blessed and have a lot. And it's true. But the glory isn't for ourselves whenever it's God giving us those things. The glory, the treasure is the fact that we get to give that to him. And when we are judged at the judgment seat of Christ, we get to lay those crowns at his feet, because we used all of those talents that he gave us and we multiplied it for him so that we could give him an increase, or so that he could get the increase.
Right.
And so I think it's just all about, it really is all about, where's our treasure, you know? Because if our treasure is easily those things, like if we're enticed by those things, he's probably not going to give us as many of those things. He's probably not going to be able to trust us with those things, and for our own good, for our own benefit, so that we will focus more on him. I'll wrap this up here in like a minute, but I was listening to a story, what was it? I don't know what it was on. I don't know if it was a podcast or what it was, or a program. I don't know. They all start to blend together when you're listening, when you're around radio and like when you listen to video podcasts and things like that. But it was someone, and Ethan could have even been listening to it, and I was just overhearing it. I like to do that when he's listening to like Bible teaching and stuff. But anyways, this lady was, they were talking about healing, I think. Yes, I think it was something he was listening to. So basically, they were saying that the Lord, you know, the Lord did not give healing because he said to him, humility was more important than the healing.
Wow.
Because keeping whatever example they were giving was him keeping, and I think they used Paul as an example of the thorn in his flesh.
Yeah.
Whether you whatever that is, if it was something that he needed healing from, if it was whatever the thorn in the flesh is, people right. have many different thoughts of what they think it is.
Yep.
But no matter what it was, even if it wasn't a physical healing, it was something that he wanted to be taken away from him.
I got you.
And that it was really hard to deal with. But the Lord allowed it for his own humility. So even thinking about that, that, you know, there's things that the Lord could give us. And I believe that we are made whole, that in him, you know, that we have healing, we have wholeness, all of these things. But that even more important than giving us these things, he's looking out for our best interest. He's looking out for what works together for the most good and the most, what is the most important thing to the Lord? That we are humble so that he can be exalted and that we can have a right relationship with him. Because when we're in right relationship with him, he's on the throne of our lives and we are his children. We're his servant.
Right.
We're in our place and he's in his place.
Yep.
And it's out of his love and mercy, because if he knows that something, even if it's giving us healing, I mean, that's crazy to wrap your mind around, but even if it's, you know, taking away something that is, we've been praying and praying and praying for, but it's going to lead us to be prideful and to lose sight of our first love, he would rather us keep walking through that thing so that we draw near to him and stay near to him and our heart is right with him. And I don't know. I don't know if that, like, just that kind of thought process really got me, like, in awe of the Lord. Like, wow. Even in your correction, even in your withholding an answer to prayer, it might seem like he was doing that because, you know, he's God and we're not. But it's all his grace and mercy, because he's looking out for our soul. He's always looking out for our soul. He's looking out for our relationship with him, because he loves us that much. He wants us to have such a close relationship with him, and whatever it takes to keep sin out of our life so that sin is not becoming a separation between us and him,
yep.
he will allow it.
Right.
Whatever that is. And for all of us, it's different, because some of us, you know, we're better at, you know, or we're more submissive, or we have more self-control. But some of us, you know, we have different weaknesses. Like it was talking about the weaker brother and the other brother. And so I think, I don't know, it's just, he's so big and he's so good. And he knows each and every one of us. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every struggle that we have. And he does what's best for each of his kids. And it's just how amazing and loving, but also all-knowing, and like his ways higher than our ways.
That's right.
It really amazes me. And verses like this can make me start thinking about all of those things, because when we keep our eyes on him, when we lay up our treasures in heaven on those things that are above, we start to think kingdom-minded like that.
Right.
And not just think the same old ways that we are used to thinking. So,
yeah, and I think it's very, you know, very awesome for us to realize that even the deeper we go in the Lord, the more kingdom-minded he lets us become. You know, you talked about the desires of your heart. And I think about Psalms in 37:4 says, delight that stuff also in the Lord. He shall give thee desires of thine heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know David was talking about desires for him. But actually, people now, they have desires in this world also.
Uh-huh.
So if it's in your heart and you really want it to happen, more than likely it's going to happen. You know, people always say, well, how do you take time for this? How do you take time for that? I don't see how you got time for it. Well, you got to take time for it. Uh-huh. I mean, I can remember, like, you know, it's whatever you want to do, you'll find a way to where you can get it done.
You'll set your mind to
it. And you'll set your, that's right. I mean, just like we was teasing in the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas that's coming, you know, my daughter, my son-in-law, and of course my grandson, I think during Christmas there's like 7 days there in a row where they've got something going on at another family. They're coming up here, up this way. Of course, they're about 34 miles away, but they're coming up here 5 days in a row because there's things going on. And, I mean, it's just like, hey, I mean, I tell them all the time. I say, look, if it gets to be too much, if you got to stay home, they're like, no, we're coming because, I mean, we're family, and that's what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's about, like, about you knowing right now that, you know, that in the kingdom of God, for sure, got in the kingdom of God, that you are going to do hopefully what he wants you to do. Because a lot of times, Hannah, we do everything we want to do out in this world. You know, yeah. Well, I got to work, I got to do this, but I mean, we'll do everything we can after work to get to a ball game or get to a recital or get to some kind of outing we're going to out eat with. But then again, when you talk about church, it's like, I need to take a break or whatever. I mean, you'll do it for the world, but you won't do it for God. I mean, yeah. So that's where our priorities have become as a whole, because everybody wants to do it. Well, I'm going to rest that day. Well, thing about it is, you go by, they say they're going to rest, and they're out working or something in the yard or something like that. So, I mean, and that because of why? Because that's in their heart. Well, I got to get this done. Well, if we get our mindset on, hey, we've got to understand that the Lord's coming back. And if we don't do the work, because the labors are few, the harvest is ripe for picking, but the labors are few. But guess mm-hmm. what? The work still got to get done. We still got to go out there and tell people about Jesus and tell them about that. And I believe if he will give us the desires of our heart, I think so many times we think, oh, well, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. See, our mindset is wrong. Our mindset is wrong because David wasn't talking about natural things. Mm-mm. He was talking about spiritual things, the desire, because if I desire Jesus, he'll make sure everything else is where it needs to be. Yeah. And I mean, so many people say, well, yeah, it says that he'll give me desires of my heart, and so I'm going to live for him, and I desire to have this, or I desire to have that. But no, in the kingdom of God, what's going to benefit you? That brand new truck or that brand new, you know, whatever you do, brand new house or things like that, is that going to benefit you? No, it's things that he gives you in your life to let people understand. It's not what's on the outside. It's not what's looks good to the eye, but it's what in the heart, because it's a heart issue. And I believe that's still yet today the cry for so many right now, is to get the heart to where it needs to be. Because I want the desires of my heart to line up with the desires of my Heavenly Father. And amen. That's when you really know that it's really connecting. I mean, that's when you really know that, I mean, you really understand that his ways are past finding out. But see, if his ways are past finding out, I don't want to shy away from that. I want to get close to that. Yeah. See, so many people say, well, I can't find him out, so I'm going to shy away from him. What? I mean, no, you got to get close to that. You got to understand, look, I mean, he's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of the universe. And you're telling me right now that you don't want to get close to that. And I mean, you know, just like when he formed Adam and he formed Eve, you know, he set them in the garden there. And he said, you can eat of every tree here except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not only did he not want them to know evil, he just didn't really want them to know good, because he just wanted them to know that he's the only good. But still yet, because they partook of that. And see, now people are partaking of things that's not right. And people are partaking of things in this world that Jesus has told you. You say, well, he didn't tell me. Yeah, he did. He told you in his word to abstain from all appearances of evil. Mm-hmm. He told you not to sin. And still yet, so many people are entangling themselves in a society of where they think they got to do that. But, I mean, I just want to do the things of God. So.
Amen. And, you know, the thing I love about the Lord is he gives us everything that we need.
That's right.
The things that we think that we want, like Adam and Eve, they thought that is what they wanted. And they thought it was maybe what they needed.
Yeah.
But God gave them everything that they needed.
Right.
And then all throughout history, we're all reaping from that. And, I mean, we don't get to just blame them because we do the same thing.
Yeah.
If we were, this is the thing, if we were in their shoes, like if it was,
come on, yeah,
Josh, well, I don't want to throw Rachel
under, no,
but, but if it was Josh and Rachel instead of Adam and Eve,
right,
it would still, we do the same thing?
Right.
Yes.
To be honest with you, it probably would, because
anybody would.
That's right.
It was, you know, it wasn't just them. Like, they're the only corrupt ones, and now we all got to just pay for it. Because we all have that those desires. But the thing is, God gave them everything they needed, and they couldn't, that wasn't enough for them because they chose to go by their desires.
Yeah. In the beginning, what separated them from God? Their sin.
Yeah.
And now, even today, Hannah, today, what is separating people from God? Their sin. So whether it's then, whether it's now, still yet today, sin separates us from God.
Yep.
He still loves us. He still tries to correct us. He still tries to say, hey, don't do that. Don't do it that way. But still yet, at the end of the day, what separates us from God? It's our sin. So,
yep.
Good corner. Good corner.
All right. Well, we are at our hard break, and we have a second trivia question here. Let's see, Tuesday question number two. Who said the day of death is better than the day of birth? Who said that the day of death is better than the day of birth? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day, cold but still beautiful, on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. And thank you to all of our listeners who are tuned in with us and chiming in, getting those phone calls in for the trivia question. We do have an answer. He beat Miss Brenda by just a few seconds. He's like that.
I'm sorry, Greg, but I wanted to say, y'all, let's boot Greg out of the way and let Brenda have it.
Brother Greg, just he got
good job, Brother Greg.
King Solomon, he says. So that is true. Ecclesiastes 7:1 is what that talks about. But awesome, awesome. You were so close, Miss Brenda. Like a phone call, you were like, the phone call was ending and yours was coming in. So keep up the good work.
That's right. But that's right. So
here's Greg for a second time. Oh, look. Well, yesterday was Brenda and Greg.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, well, he's already in here twice.
Man,
so,
oh man. So
somebody else.
We're going to find out what that prize is. That way we can get more people calling and stuff.
That's
so
true.
Know what's going on.
We so might have to start announcing. Because when we announced the prize for the Ark Encounter, we had a lot of people get in there.
Was that about this time last year?
It might have been, actually.
I thought it was about during this season or whatever. I think Brother Greg and his family is the one that gave it out.
It was, so. Yeah. And that was so cool, which not every time we'll be able to be that cool, but, you know, it's always nice to have prizes in there. We'll get our wheels turning, get our minds thinking about what we could do.
Yeah.
Because it's Christmas time. We could maybe do something special.
Something special.
Yeah.
Right? That's
for
right.
a trivia prize.
That's it.
So we do appreciate our listeners. And we know that you all aren't all in it for the prize. You like to keep your mind fresh in there with the scripture. And I love, like, when people get excited about the trivia. Yeah. I just love it. I'm like, I just love to see people excited about scripture and learning scripture.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I know I love hearing from people that talk about the broadcast, and even, you know, not only Monday through Friday, Mornings with Box 2 Radio. Of course, we've got a few people that are newer to our church, newer to the area. So, and, you know, very faithful people. So I'm just trying to say, hey, don't forget if you're up about that time, you know, tune us in that morning or whatever. So anyway, it's awesome. So here we are. We're going to be this Tuesday morning. We're going to be some morning manna for you this morning from what I've gathered yesterday and written down in my Facebook page. So we're going to Numbers 13:30, and it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. In the face of everything going on, we see the need for someone to rise up right now and say we are more than able. So many of us feel as if we aren't equipped to fight the battle before us. Do we doubt ourselves, or do we doubt God? We are more than able to overcome every battle with Christ. Can you imagine the look on the faces of everyone when Caleb stood up, calmed the people, and said that we are well able to overcome this land? the people that had went with him had given a report of just how awful the land and the inhabitants were. But I want to proclaim to you today that you are more than able. Don't allow the voice of the enemy to tell you any different. We have been destined to possess the land and whatever else God has for us. We have been empowered by our Savior to overcome the things in front of us. I don't know about you, but I want to surround myself with those who say we are able to overcome every situation. I declare for victory to happen now, healings to happen now, breakthrough to happen now, and deliverances to happen now. Whatever you have need of in the kingdom of God, it can happen now. Be strong, stay strong, and we strong. See, because, I mean, so many times, and even within our church there, we have people right now that are going through a battle. You know, whether it be physical, whether it be mental, or whatever it is. But I still want to proclaim victory for them. And I know they're still proclaiming victory for themselves. But still yet, in the midst of everything going on, we still need somebody to rise up and says, I don't know if we can do that. But then all of a sudden, what do you mean? Yes, we're more than able. More than able. I didn't even think we could, but you're saying we are more than able. That means we are more than conqueror. That means we can do more than we thought we could do. Well, we might be able to win, but no, we're going to win. Ain't no doubt about it. Ain't no doubt about it. Now, I mean, it's so many times you think about the victories that you've won. What overweighs the doubt? What overweighs the fear? It's the victory of getting through it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, and I told Brother Jeremy this last night. I said, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I mean, I speak of this one specific season here at Bethel when we was on the basketball team. I think we was in seventh grade. And I remember that year, it was tough. And I told a few people, I said, listen, that was when, of course, my dad was a coach. And I mean, I remember that you played seventh grade ball, you played JV, you played all varsity. And I told Ethan last night, I started center position all three games. And I said, you know, you just doing what you had to do, you know what I'm saying, to get it done or whatever. But, I mean, I remember that one year we hadn't won a game all year, had not won a game all year. But then all of a sudden the last game, we had no business beating a team. I mean, but I remember that last game of the season, it was against a team from Louisville, that we won that game. And I remember everybody around was just so happy that we won. Everybody rushed the court, all the fans and everything. And that was when we was over here in the old gym, and it was really small and contained and everything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the sidelines from where this out-of-bounds line to the wall was like 4 foot. So you didn't have very much room for people to sit down or stuff. But anyway, I remember that time that we won that. And when we did, everybody was just so happy because they seen us fight all year long, even though we was going through a battle, we was losing this, losing that. But we didn't think, I don't think about all the losses. I think about that victory. And I mean, just knowing your life right now, even though you may be going through a battle, maybe going through a struggle, just know about the victory that Jesus has for you.
Amen.
Because, I mean, you know, it's just so awesome. And we not only want to rejoice, weep with you when you're weeping, but we also want to rejoice with you when you're rejoicing.
Amen.
And I believe Caleb, he wasn't, and I don't think he was coming against the people that gave a bad report. It's almost like, listen, it's almost like, well, here's what I saw. But he was like, no, this is what I saw. So whose report are you going to believe?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, hey, if somebody gives you a bad report or something like that, I mean, I'm sure there's things going on right now that people, they're not going to be able to get over. I don't know if they're going to be good over or not, but I mean, still, yeah, we got to stand up in the middle of the day that we're living in and say, listen, I don't believe that. I don't receive that. And I'm with Caleb. I'm with, hey, we're more than able. If he says we're more than able, I'm more than able to.
Yeah.
You know, so I just.
I don't know why I thought about this, but. It's something that Jacob Swift, actually, he said quite a bit last year. It was talking about with leadership, and I think it was to do with, like, the plays that we were doing and different stuff
yeah.
like that. But it goes along with basketball. It goes along with anything, with life, with, you know, going through a church or, in this case, these people going through something very hard and they were needing to move forward. But talking about how leaders are – you know, need to learn how to inspire people.
Yeah.
And it's not out of their own abilities, but from inspire people through the Lord. Because,
right.
And I do believe that whenever we just have so much trust in the Lord, joy is easy, like, to see with this. Like, whenever someone has so much joy I think that is inspiring. Like, it just inspires other people to have joy.
Yeah.
You know? But I think it's even true with, like, wisdom and trust in the Lord. Like, that's just what I think about with Caleb, is, like, that he was inspired by the Lord. And I think about that with Paul. Like, he was so persuaded and inspired by God. And, I mean, the Word was inspired through him. But that he was able to inspire others.
That's
but it
right.
wasn't anything to do with himself, and it wasn't anything to do with Caleb. He trusted the Lord and was able to think in a different way. Like,
right.
I think when we're inspired by the Lord and we're full of his joy, we're full of his spirit, because it says he's the one that had a different spirit, right?
Right.
Was Caleb.
Come on.
And when we have that different spirit, when we're inspired, we think different.
Yeah.
We find the solutions instead of always pointing out the problem.
Come on,
but
now.
It's not,
that's a good point.
It's not us finding it. It's we're at a place where we can receive the wisdom. We can see clearly. We can see above everything else and past the noise and the complaining and the negativity, because we've came to a place with the Lord where we're not so focused on those things. We're captivated by him, so we're able to see past those things. And
right.
I think that was, I don't know, that's just what's so cool about Caleb, is that because he was so in awe of the Lord,
that's
and
right.
he was inspired by him, he was able to kind of push and inspire people to go forward, you know.
You can choose to either, on the outside, like Caleb, you was talking there, you can either choose to always see the enemy or always see the victory.
Yeah.
And I believe that he always seen victory.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's why, you know, you hear this one phrase that says, that's why you, I mean, in our relationship with the Lord, that's what matters most. But actually, in the games or in sports, I know we go to that a lot because that's what people do around here. I mean, that's what we hear.
It's
the BCA had.
It's an easy, like, illustration to see
that's
enemy
right.
and victory.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's why you play the game. Because a lot of times, like I said, we had no business winning that game. We had no business. Yeah, we was 0-22. You know what I'm saying? But that year we was, I think, 1-23. But, I mean, why do I always think about that year? I was in seventh grade. I wasn't even really varsity yet. I was still playing. You know, I remember all of a sudden getting to the place of where I became a junior and I didn't play JV no more. It's like, well, what am I doing? I mean, I'm so used to playing two or three games a night. I mean, come on now. But still, yet, you know, you always think about the times that, and that's when you learn most.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you learn most. I mean, would I have loved to won the championship? I mean, I know we've only won one here in 88, and that's been a while, and I'm still believing that in the next few years we're going to be able to win another one. I mean, you know, because I want it for these boys. I want it for everybody that's played for Bethel here. Because that's our heart. But think about it is, if we're learning, you know what I'm saying? Everybody thought, well, but I believe we're learning. I believe I've learned through some of the worst seasons, some of the worst times. That's when I learned the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's where we, you know, you think about always being the victor. And Jesus is our victory. And I say this often. I mean, I know probably people in our church right now, if they're listening, they're like, oh, my Lord, here we go again. So they can turn the radio off if they want to. But, I mean, I think about Gideon's army all the time. You know, 300 up against 135,000, all right? And so there it was 450 to 1. Actually, if you was, like, comparing to apples to apples. And there when he had 32,000, it was still a disadvantage.
Oh, yeah.
It was still a disadvantage. But still yet, he got down to 300 against 135,000. That's 450 to 1. And when the prophets of Baal, when Elijah and the prophets of Baal, if you think about on that one,
mm-hmm.
how many prophets of Baal was there? There was 450. There's 450 prophets of Baal. They said, go ahead. Said, yeah, put more water on it. Do this or do that. And said, let me call on my God and you call on your God and we'll see what happens. So whose God was victorious?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's very amazing how the Lord got it down to 450 to 1 for Gideon. And then he allowed Elijah with the 450 prophets of Baal that he went against there.
Yeah.
So there was very, you know, understanding that you're, that in, actually in man's eye, you think there's no way that's even possible.
Yeah.
But still, in God, everything is possible.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that we are finally getting a people to realize, look, the world may say this, my doctor may say that, my family may say this, but I'm worried about what God says, and God says I can. So because God says I can, we can.
Amen.
And so, I mean, it's just so amazing that and I know it's real. I know it's
that
real.
That we serve the God of the impossible.
That's right.
You know, you think about that. I was thinking about David, too, you know, when talking about having the eyes for victory. Because, I mean, him coming in there with Goliath, but he had already had the eyes for victory because he had already seen what God did before.
Right.
He had already seen that. So he had already kind of trained himself. Well, the Lord trained him to have that mindset.
Right.
Because he knew that God was with him. And so that's so good. That just having that eye for victory instead of and the mindset of we're going to lose this.
Yeah, and I don't see how people see, because a lot of this what we've been talking about in the last 15 minutes or so is things that happened in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
All right? Things that happened then. Everybody says, well, let's no, I ain't worried about that. What do you mean you ain't worried about that? That's when really, to be honest with you, I really learn what God can do. You say not when Jesus walked through. Yes, of course I do that. But still yet, knowing what God did for them back then is the same God that'll do for me today.
Amen.
And see, and he walked this earth sinless. He walked this earth perfect and therefore showed his disciples. And even his disciples got to where they felt defeated sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And walking with Jesus. But still yet, you got to realize right now that Jesus is not only walking with you, he's living in you.
Yep.
And so in every situation, you know, who do I take it to? I take it to Jesus because he's inside of me. And if I don't allow him to come out, if I don't allow him to burst out of me, then if we're not a living sacrifice for him, there's a responsibility as a child of God right now for each and every one of us to grow closer to him. Because I believe if I'm not growing, then I'm not doing what he wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even I don't care if I've been serving the Lord 20 years. I don't care if somebody's been serving the Lord 2 months. But still yet, you can have the same intensity to grow for him. To saying, all right, Lord, I know there's more. Lord, I know there's more. Just like, you know, some of the older ones in our church, you know, so many of them saying, hey, there's so much more for me to know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 40 years older than I am. But still yet have the desire, been serving the Lord for 60, 70 years, and still yet have a desire, man, I know there's so much more for the Lord for me to know.
Amen.
And me thinking there's no stopping point. There's no stopping point. I tell people all the time, and it's a great testimony for me, that actually I believe that the Lord has given me every day of my life. He's given me breath in my body to serve him.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that, hey, that I don't want to waste no time, no more, because I've wasted too much time in the past. And so therefore now I don't want to waste nobody. I don't want to waste none of his time. Because why? Because he's given me this time to be a light for him. He's giving, if you're listening right now, he's giving you this time to be a light for him. You're going to be around family in the next few weeks. You're going to be around people around the next few weeks. And I'm praying that the Lord will give you the words to speak in a kind, loving heart matter to let people know that you love them and care for them. And this is why you're telling them the truth. Because of why? Because they see your faithfulness. Be faithful in what you know to do in Jesus. If you don't know that next step, don't go to that next step. But he will not call you to a higher place without equipping you with the resources to know that when you're there, you'll be victorious also. Because this is not about us doing this or us doing that, because without him drawing people, they can't even come. But I still know that it's something that we pray for almost every time we ask prayer for everybody. We always have 4 or 5 people, and everybody could raise their hand. I know they could. But we always have specific 3 or 4 people that says, hey, don't forget my family.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that right now all their family is not where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget my family because I've got lost family. Don't forget my friends because I got lost friends. Don't forget our community. We have lost people in our community. But then as we have the United States of America flag there, don't forget our country.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a country now that is in a state of backslid nation.
Yeah.
And we want them to come back to God. I mean, don't lose our desire. You know, I was shown something here a while back about how, you know, everybody was praising the Lord for this or that. And I mean, you say the church prayed for, even we need to be praying for every election.
Mm-hmm.
But still yet, I don't want the church to lose that desire to pray. You say, well, it's because people prayed. Don't lose that desire to pray.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid so many people that just because it happens or just because it's answered, they'll lose that desire to pray. Don't lose that desire to pray. If anything, if you see something happen because of what you pray for, it should intensify your prayer life. Say, hey, Lord, you've done it once, you're going to do it again. You've done it this time, you're going to do it again. And if we'll keep that mode of prayer, I don't know why, but I mean, in this next year, I remember even you guys here at Bethel, y'all pray often, all the time, and stuff like that. But I remember as a kid, there being, I don't know how long it lasted, but there's a 24-hour prayer vigil here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, wow. I mean, I think about that now. I was like, how did that even work? And I mean, as a pastor, I told my church, I said, listen, I don't think that I should be able to tell you something to do without me also doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hopefully in 2025, here's what we're going to do for, you know, one Saturday a month there at our little church. I said, we're going to have a day of prayer here. For every hour, there'll be somebody here at the church praying over our community, praying over our churches, praying over our needs. We have intensified prayer in the last couple of years because Brother Billy, our pastor for many years there, has, in the last few years, has really instilled into us the key to the next move of God is prayer. And I believe that when people pray and seek His face, I believe that's when we really realize. So, I mean, that has, you know, begun to intensify. And I've been hearing from other people in the last couple of days said, hey, I believe we need to do this. And I'm thinking, Lord, if we say all this, and I tell them this also, I say, look, if we say something that's not for you, then it's not for you. Mm-hmm. I said, but if we say something that really says, hey, I want to do that, then that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just want everybody to know. And, tonight we're going to have prayer meeting there there at the church starting at 6, and tonight's the first Tuesday of the month, so we're going to have pinpoint prayer time.
Mm-hmm.
Where we'll make sure that all of us for 5 or 6 minutes together, we'll have like 7 or 8 different things we pray for, but for 5 or 6 minutes everybody is focused in on one thing. And so that's, you know, I think it's very and I think I'm inspired by that, by hear what I was taught, and then also what you guys do here. Like Hannah, you got the prayer time often. Y'all got prayer time today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also you got the radio spot here on Wednesday mm-hmm. afternoons, you know, Prayer Warriors, yeah. Time to Pray.
And then our Saturday nights.
Yeah,
too.
Then I mean, so I'm thankful for that. And I think because of that, others see that and they're like, hey, that's what we want to do too.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do.
Prayer, I don't think I've ever seen as many prayers answered as like this last year.
Wow.
Or last year or two.
Yeah.
I really, and it's not just here, it's
right.
Just whosoever will. Like,
right.
Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord and really just stand in the gap. And I mean, I get down on myself sometimes, or I want to push myself to more, you know, like in my own time with the Lord. But I'm thankful that I'm like, okay, so if I'm seeing God move through corporate prayer, through two or more being gathered,
right.
And we're coming together to pray
right.
that many times a week, how much would He be moving as well? And He has.
Yeah.
He's moved in my life and my family's life, but how much more would He be moving if the more that we were moving in our secret place with Him and in our personal time with
right,
Him,
right.
You know, spending more time with Him, hearing His heart, praying His will. And there's always more. It's not anything that we're doing, but it's who we're spending time with.
Right.
It's what we're giving our time to. And it makes me think and makes me want to push myself more. And so that's where I'm at, is like, man, I can't spend enough time with Him in prayer.
I know.
And getting that desire for, you know, always, you
yeah.
know, praying without ceasing, being
yeah,
in His
right.
presence. Because the corporate prayer, I've seen lots of prayers answered. So it's like you said, whenever we see something big being answered, or small, or whatever it is, but just we see consistency of Him answering
yes,
prayers,
that's it.
It should drive us to want to seek Him more, seek His face more, you know, for our own personal needs. Because, you know this a lot, being a pastor, but a lot of times, you know, with this corporate prayer, we're praying for the needs of others.
Yeah.
We're standing in the gap for those around us most
yeah.
of the time. And I think that's what true intercession is, you know, really standing in the gap for other people's needs.
Yep.
And, but I believe the Lord, you know, at least like he spoke to me, and I know anybody who prays a lot for other people or has a lot of corporate prayer, that we need to be seeking him for what we need.
Right.
Too. You
right.
know, because he wants to give, he wants to meet our needs. He wants to meet all of our needs.
Yep.
And all we have to do is ask, and all we have to do is seek him. And it might not look like what we think he's going to meet it. It might, the answer to the prayer might not look like what we think.
Yeah.
But I don't care, as long as it's his will. His will be done.
That's right.
You know? So, and that's what's been awesome is, you know, not every prayer, and you all have seen this, I know, anybody who's praying and seeing prayers answered, it's not always the way we think he's going to do it.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that he's doing it.
Yep.
That's what we're thankful
yep.
for. We want a move of God isn't always going to look like what we want it or what we think it will, but it's just we want to have that consistency of we know that he's moving. We know that we're a part of
yeah.
him moving no matter what it looks like.
Right.
Because if we're not, then we're dead.
That's
you
right.
know, because he's alive in us. So
yes.
if we're not, if there's not things happening, then there's not life. We're not alive. Our
right.
prayer life is not alive. Our walk isn't alive. So
yeah.
I'm thankful for alive and active churches praying.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree with Brother Billy that that's going to be the key.
Yeah, I mean,
it has been the key.
It has been. That's right. That's right. Because I mean, a lot of the times, even I think about the move of God that have happened and are still sustained right now. You know, it's because there's a people praying. And because the people did pray. And oftentimes that's when it really burst out is when you see the people wailing out to him, crying out to him, and saying, Lord, we need so much more of you in our life right now. We need so much more of you in our communities right now. We need so much more of you in our schools right now. We need so much more of you in our churches right now where it don't have to be what we think it ought to be.
Yeah.
Where we don't have to write up some kind of program where this should happen, that should happen, but it's all ordained and guided by you.
Amen. 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 I guess we are here at another break.
Another break. Be the last one.
So we'll come back here. If you all have any questions for us, you can get that in 270. You can text Josh or myself, 270-589-7933. But we'll be back here after the break. And that's 270-257-2689 if you need to call.
So yeah, that's right.
We'll be
that's
right back here after the break.
Brian asked me to come in.
He told me that. So. All right, we are back here. Oh, my Siri's on. Turn off. It's because I said Siri
said
over
Siri.
The break. So she's getting ready to help
she
me.
She thought you was talking to her, right?
Well, I'm glad I shut her off. There's no telling what she'd be bringing up. So over the break, I was talking about someone that I had talked on the phone with, and I didn't tell Brother Josh this, but it was kind of funny. So we were trying to look up like different stations through our Siri, taking
yeah.
us to different radio stations on
right.
our phone. And I said, Siri, take me to the Box 2 radio or take me to 91.5. And we aren't, I don't believe, on Apple through our radio station on Apple. So I don't know what happened, but it started to take me to the secular station.
Wow, I got you.
Not when I said Box 2 radio,
yeah.
but I think it was trying to find, you know, how different stations in different places are different.
Right.
Frequencies
yeah.
of radio. So it took me to this song that was not Christian at all, and it started playing
wow.
while I had this person on yeah. the phone, and we were just laughing. We were like, oh no, that's not it. So we clicked off of there.
At least you knew what the fake was, right?
I did, yeah. But it is pretty cool, though. We figured out that if you do use your Siri, if you have our app downloaded, and you say, Siri, take me to... Oh, she's popping up again. Okay, well, that name that we all know, take me to my Box 2 app. Then
yeah.
it'll take you right to it, open it up, and all you have to do is just click your live stream
wow.
there. So it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't really use that very often because
yeah.
I'm just so used to going to the places I
right.
need to go. But for people who, you know, they need a little extra help, they haven't had iPhones before, or we talked to a blind gentleman,
yeah.
you know, there's different avenues and ways that we can get to our streaming.
Yeah.
So
and when you
we
said that, while,
figure that out.
When you said that a while ago, I knew exactly who you were talking about, Brother Larry. Because I mean, actually, he great man of God that plays guitar and stuff, and I mean, he plays guitar amazing.
I didn't
yeah,
know he
so
didn't
when,
say he play guitar.
Well, when you meet him, you better have him play guitar for you.
Well, yeah.
He can pick a guitar, buddy. He really can. So, wow. Anyway, but
well, when you said play, I didn't know maybe if maybe he sang or had other people that played.
Now he may sing, but all the time that I've heard him, he just plays the guitar. Like he'll have, like when he plays with the group from he plays with a group. And like they'll during the song they'll have like you know when the guitar just plays.
He does that quite often. That's awesome.
But Brother Larry Markham, he's been at Madrid and preached before, and I mean so.
Well, it was just a joy talking to him, and I can't wait to be able to meet him, and we love and he just had left a voicemail, you know, and he's had connection with the station before, but we, you know, if you all leave us voicemails or you call, you know, it's just, we love to be able to connect with you.
Right.
So it was awesome.
That's great. So I guess that's the first time really you ever heard of him or knew him, right?
Yeah.
So
I'd never met him.
That's awesome.
Now he didn't know my name, but it's funny when people know your voice, but they never met you.
Yeah.
I guess I was kind of like
Sister Brenda. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, she's like, I know you. But does she know your name too, though?
She did know my name. She said, you're on with Brother Aaron and Sister Hannah. You're, and I think she said Josh, right? I said, yep, that's it. So
that's awesome.
But she did know you and Brother Aaron first before me, though, okay? Because y'all here every day.
Yeah, that's true. But
I was telling Hannah also, you know, for you listeners out there, I say, you know, a lot of times probably Sister Hannah and Brother Aaron, they think, man, they do this 5 days a week and sometimes say the same thing, but we still got to say it. They still got to say it. And I told them they still got to say it because there's somebody out there right now that maybe just not listen very much, and maybe somebody that's not how we're trying to always get people engaged into the broadcast. Hey, don't forget our numbers, right? Because, I mean, there's been times, really, to be honest with you, that I should know these numbers by heart. But when I'm out somewhere, hey, do you know the number too? I should, yeah, but for whatever reason, I don't know. But then got to look it up or whatever. So that's why.
Well, speaking of that, I will say, and before we get into maybe, we might get into our topic today a little bit. But on the website, so box2radio.com, all lowercase, and it's the number 2. You don't got to spell out the word 2. So just box2radio.com. Our number is now easier to find on there because before it was kind of smaller on the front. It was still on the front page, but now it's kind of bigger and it's like a color. I don't know if it's blue or something like that. And it's right there, right when you get to the website.
That's
so
awesome.
If you ever do forget or you just need our number, it's right there. I think both of our numbers are on there because we do have the two lines.
Wow.
So that's there. And then also where you can click to listen live is on that front page. The Tithely app link is on that first page. So it's a little bit updated now where everything that you need is right there when you click on the website. So,
right.
And then of course, if you want to go listen to podcasts or look at our programmers or things like that, that's always on the sidebar, that you can find. But when you first get on there, if you need our number or need a link to our app or just want to listen live, because I still think that that's the easiest way to listen live for
right.
most people. Because if you just search up the website, and then it's right there.
Right
you
there.
Know? Yeah. And it's easy to share with people, too.
Now, have you been one of the ones that actually got all that revamped and new? Or?
Yeah. Well, I just now updated. Actually, somebody had called, and I've constructive criticism is always awesome, because they were like, well, I just struggled to find the number at first, so I was like, well, we can't be having that. We need people to know our number.
Yeah.
So what if they got to call in on the trivia or just get a hold of us? So, no, yeah, I just got that changed for us. It wasn't too hard. We just had to just get that updated, and we didn't have our Tithely link on there. We had info on there saying we have a church app, but we didn't have the link. So now there's that link on there that you can click, and it'll take you right to where to download it.
I got you.
Yeah. So it's pretty easy. And if you like to share things, I know people, they share things on Facebook and, you know, things like that. And it is easy to share these things on social media, or even if you want to send it to a text message to a friend and say, hey, this is the radio station that I listen to. All you have to do is if you have an iPhone, and I think it's most other smartphones too, but there's like a little share button at the bottom of your screen. on whatever, anytime you're on your explore page, on your Safari, on your search engine,
yep.
wherever you would go to look up, you know, a website or go to any website, there's this little share button. Josh knows what I'm talking about.
Believe it or not, I do. I really do.
It's right underneath, and you just...
It's a little square box looking thing with arrow, right?
A little square box, and, I mean, you can share it to all kinds of different stuff.
Yep.
Whatever you want to. So, that's...
You know why I've known that here lately? Because people said, hey, you know, got people there. So the big question about nowadays is, what do you want for Christmas? Well, let me look up real quick. Let me send you something.
Let me send you the link to it. Yeah. Well, that's good, though. And, I mean, people want to share sermons, too, like, you know, and or maybe a broadcast that we do. If you go on the website or, you know, it's easy to share it like that, too, if you want to post it on Facebook or... share it to your friend that missed it, you know, wasn't able to.
You would think, of course, when I'm on my job or whatever, my radio, my job site radio, and I've sent Aaron a picture of it before or whatever, but it's always on Box 2 Radio Network, 91.5. So, you know, I don't have the app. Of course, I got the app downloaded, but I ain't got it working through my radio. So I always hear, you know, James Dobson. I always hear the 11 o'clock hour with the more music there. And then also, of course, Brother Ron at 12, and just go on and on throughout the day. So that's just where it stays on. But, I mean, I have talked about how, because I know Brother Aaron is doing an awesome series right now on First John and stuff. And in the past, you've told me, hey, make sure you go listen to this one or listen to that one. So,
and I will say, so we're going to, so like, for example, Lance Johnson is coming here for the Winter Awakening.
Right.
We'll probably do this again with this. But when he was here before with the Harvest Crusade, if you get on our app or if you go to our church, so our church website is where all the sermons are.
Right.
So our Box 2 website has all of our mornings, the morning shows, the interviews, stuff like that. Yeah. But if you go to BethelFMI.org, that's where anyone, you know, who comes to preach that we've recorded it or anything here, sermons, special things, we actually have a separate little tab. So, like, if you go to sermons or podcasts, it'll show Sunday morning, Wednesday night study, and then it'll show Harvest Crusade. So that way it keeps it all together with only those, and it's easier to find. And so with Aaron's series on, he did one on spiritual warfare or like deliverance, that is on the app as its own thing. And so we'll have that on the Bethel FMI as its own thing for First John as well.
That's awesome.
We're going to do that.
Awesome.
So it's just easier to find it. You just, right there when you get on it, you'll see First John series or the Winter Awakening sermon.
Yeah, because when people can't really find something, they get so they're like, oh, I'll forget it then. Or something. But if they can find it easier, then
they're always on the list, but it's just easy to just see the picture right there. Oh, that's where it's at. So that we're going to try to our best to get that up when Lance is here again.
Yeah.
And then we're even going to try that with Aaron's series on that, on the First John.
Then I know that probably, right now, I get a lot of people, amen, right here, if they're from Madder. Sometimes I can be long-winded, you know what I'm saying? So, but I try not to be on my manna, because I know that when you're reading something, if it don't really captivate you, you're done with it after a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I understand that, because why do I? Because sometimes that's happened to me. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So if you keep it kind of a little bit, but there comes
especially
a time.
Especially if you're reading it.
Right.
Yeah.
But there comes a time where you really got to know more than what is there, because, you know, it's more than what we know is just a few sentences.
Well, that's what's awesome about the manna for the radio or like Kingdom Corner is we might only have a little bit written down, but then we can expand on it when we're talking about it.
And that's what we do
but
on broadcast.
Facebook, you know, or when you're reading it, like on, you know, whether it's Facebook or the Miss Gretchen puts them in the bulletins and things like that, or the newsletter. When you're reading it, I do think it's better when it's shorter, because it captivates your attention, and you're not, if people aren't readers, then they probably will tune out.
My wife says, or reading in all caps, you know, people that does all caps. And she goes, no thanks.
Oh my gosh. Rachel, I'm in total agreement with that. Well, oh, this is so funny. Somebody had showed me, they were talking to somebody, and you know, Christian dating kind of type thing, and the person was talking in all caps, and I said, "Oh, that's a red flag. Pass on, on to the next." Because I mean, it just is. You know, it's like, what? Turn the caps off.
That's right. It's almost like they're hollering.
It's like, oh my gosh.
yeah. It's almost that's like they're funny. Hollering at you while they're typing it out. So, yeah. So. That's she funny. Said for her, it's just so hard to see because she's so used to the other way or something. But I mean, how is that? Though? It's bigger, but then, yeah, it's like, oh, it's just so much different. So
It is. Well, today we have like 15 more minutes. That's we can right. get into that. If anybody has any questions that they want to get in, go ahead and text us if you have mine or Josh's number. My number is 270-589-7933.
And I got 270-230-5924.
Yeah. But our topic is applying scripture accurate application of scripture. So applying it the right way. And I think when talking about this, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but just like you said, some people, sometimes we just need a refresher of how we're supposed to do that. And so something that we talk about often on here is that there's not all these different meanings. Like, Jesus was not ambiguous. He wasn't meaning 50 different things. Like, he had different ways that it can apply, and he told different stories that speak to different things, but there was one meaning. There's one meaning of what each scripture is saying.
Right.
There's a truth. It's an absolute truth. Your truth, my truth, their truth. Yeah. Like, it's one truth, and then we get to take that truth and we get to apply it to things that we need it for, things in our life. Right. And that truth is what we line everything else up against.
Amen.
And so I think the biggest thing is just getting to that reading. We talk about this, reading the verses before and reading the verses after.
That's it.
Not just taking one little scripture
and
using it for whatever we want to justify it to be. That's you know, it. And to always be open for the Lord to teach us what it's really meaning, and the Holy Spirit to lead us into the absolute truth of it,
right?
Rather than just always what we've been taught before.
Yeah, because I mean, we must know that. Why in the world does it seem like some of the same scriptures that we use often are some of those same scriptures that He shows us so much more in?
Yeah.
Because that's what we read. And if you're reading that, and if you're studying that, I believe that He's going to always show you more in that. And Amen. I mean, that's just how great of a God we have. And I mean, oftentimes I'm still struggling with this, that if I preach one thing, I think, Lord, do you want me to speak it again? But like Brother Ron, I used to hear him say a lot of times, as he was my pastor for many years, for 20 years there, first 20 years of my life. But I remember him saying many a time, I would have to preach the same thing for almost a year in a row for everybody to hear it.
Wow.
That comes to church. Just because, you know, sometimes everybody's not there. You know, you may have one come in here and there. So in order for everybody to hear it, he'd probably have to preach it for years straight for everybody to really hear it.
Wow.
And then it reminds me of this one. I don't know if it was a story, if it was real, but everybody talks about this preacher that come in, evangelist come in, and said for every night, like the third or fourth night, he would preach the same text and almost the same message every night. So finally somebody just asked him one night after service, said, "Hey, why are we preaching the same thing every time?" And it's almost like he said to him, he said, "Well, when you get this and you really get it and get past it, we'll move on. But until then, I'm going to stick right here where the Lord told me to stay at." Because, I mean, we haven't got this part of it yet.
Yeah.
So why move on to something else? And I get what he's saying. But then again, you must, you know, and that's why it's so important for us to not only speak the word, but apply it to our life also. It's one thing to speak it, but it's another thing to apply it.
Yeah. And I think when talking about applying it to thinking about, I always think about, you know, the word is a sword.
Yeah.
It is a sword.
Right.
But we can use that sword to fight our true enemy, which is our flesh and sin, and then those principalities and things that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against those things that we can't see.
Right.
But that are in the spiritual. And so when we use our word accurately, we're using it to fight that. We're using it to fight our flesh and to crucify our flesh, keep ourselves in check, and get and walk in the Spirit.
Right. Because
we can't walk in the flesh and the Spirit at the same time.
Yeah.
But if we... when we apply it wrong is when we start to use the word to cut others, to beat down, to condemn, to tear down instead of build up.
Right.
Tear people down instead of build up. We can use it to tear like structures and systems that are and lies down. We want to use it to tear that down, but not to tear people down.
That's right.
People that God created, that people that God wants to invite through the word and build up through the word.
Yeah.
And it makes me, you know, a common story that we can think of with this and that many do is, you know, Peter cutting off the ear of the the soldier.
That's the soldier.
And even though that, you know, that's that event that really happened, he really did cut off the ear, physically cut off the ear, and and he probably wasn't thinking anything about the word of God in that moment.
Right. No.
You know, so there was really a true event that happened where he did that, and Jesus taught him, you know, a lesson that if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. That that's not how we are to live, that we're to live in his kingdom and his ways. But this is an example of how we can use that principle and even use that illustration. God can still speak to something else.
Amen.
Something else that's true in scripture, because scripture tells us to love one another. Scripture tells us to edify, that any gift that he's given us is for edifying and building up the body, and that, you know, they will know us by our love for one another. So that story, even though it's not talking about, you know, building people up with the word instead of cutting people's ears off, we know that that's a truth, that the Pharisees were cutting people's ears off.
Yeah.
They had the law, they had the word, but they were cutting people's ears off because they were causing people not to hear because of their own self-righteousness and wanting to cut people. So I think that's just one example of, you know, how we can apply the word. We know it says that one thing. It wasn't talking about what we're talking about today, but we can use it to apply and to remember how we're supposed to use the word and what it's for. What is Jesus, the revelation of Jesus, for? He came into the world not to condemn it, but to save it.
Amen.
He came into the world so that, you know, we would make disciples of all men. And that's what...
That's right.
And even the Old Testament, it's all pointing back to him. And so I love that the word is active in what we can do. But also anything, we'll look at the enemy. He can't create anything, so he tries to pervert it.
Right.
So when we try to, when we use this word for our own self or to beat people down or for a certain agenda to try to twist it, that's why we see so many false teachings in this day.
Yeah.
Is because people know that this is the truth, or people know that this is, you know, holy scripture.
Come on.
So, but they don't want to accept it, so they want to twist it and use it for their own agendas, like the enemy will do. He'll try to pervert it. He knows that it's true, but he wants to pervert it for his own benefit,
right?
His own uses. And and so I think we don't want to fall into that, because, you know, even in Matthew, where I was reading later on, it talks about you can't serve two masters.
Come on. That's right.
So if we're not serving the Lord, we're not using his word to build up, we're not using his word to really live by it and practice it and operate in the truth, and then who are we serving?
That's right.
We're being just like the devil by twisting it. And so there's ways that we can use it wrong, there's ways that we can live it out, but the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us into all truth.
And the application of it, we must know that every bit of it's truth.
Amen.
I mean, probably in this world, there's things that people try to get you to do, or, you know, most time, everything you do, everything you get, there's an application to it on how you must do it correctly. You know, so many people try to do it, skip a step. You know what I'm saying? And
there's
some things in this world now, I'm not talking about in the kingdom, but in this world, if you skip a step, could it turn out the way it should? Maybe. But oftentimes, if you stick with the plan and do it the way it says, that's when it's its best effect.
Amen.
That's when the best thing is done, is when you do it like it says to do it. Okay, how many guys out there right now, if they're listening to me, that your wife or somebody has asked you to put something together, they say, well, here, there's the directions. What I need directions for? Well, there's a way to do it. Well, I can do it without it. But then all of a sudden, it's like, what I do on this step? Well, the directions are over here. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, the application of what we do. And I mean, for whatever reason, I take joy in putting those things together and going step by step. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I remember, you know, even Maddie, I don't know if you got into it, Hannah, but she would love Legos. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I remember
like the little Legos?
Yeah, little Legos, just... and have these big ones or whatever, you know, like these big scenes or whatever, big uh-huh. house. And you would have a book that was like, I don't know, it seemed like there was 100 steps.
Uh-huh.
But in each step, some of them you had like 4 or 5 things you had to put together. But in some of them you only had 2 things to put together. Some of them you have more than that to put together. But at the end of it, it made something.
Yeah.
But I remember Maddie, even as a little girl, me helping her, of course, she would not let me skip a step. Whoa, 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 you can't do that, Daddy. We skipped that part. I said, I know, but what's it going to hurt if we... No, we've got to put that one there. It says put it there, and that's where we got to put it. And so it actually taught me something, you know, in the Word of God. I mean, there's a way to do it.
That's true. Line upon line.
That's right. Why there's so many people trying to not apply it to your life. And that's why so many have a thinking problem about what their eyes think about the church, or what their eyes think about Jesus, or what their eyes think about people out there that's not really applying the word to their life. It's so amazing to me how people out in the world knows how it should be applied, but they're not applying it. But people that are says they're of the faith, I mean, they know how you should be applying it, but they see you're not applying it.
But God will speak to us through even things that are of, you know, natural things like that, even just building something. And people that don't know God, some people might love, you know, things like the Legos. Like, they might like structure and following the steps when it comes to other things.
Yeah.
So that's how the Lord can speak to us about what's the same way with Him.
Well, I think it's so amazing how actually throughout this world we see, to be honest with you, not applying it fully to where Jesus takes control of their life. But there's biblical principles that people in the world use.
Yeah.
Just like business and stuff,
and
as far as giving.
Yeah.
Where did giving start from? Giving started from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then people understand that when you give, it's a blessing. It
mm-hmm.
makes everybody out there, even people that don't even know Jesus, if they give, it makes them feel good when they give.
Yeah.
Whether it be time, whether it be money, whether it be just doing a meal for this one or that one, how does it make you feel giving?
Yeah.
And so how much more do you think that you can be used in the kingdom of God with that heart you have to give to others? If you just allow Jesus to come into your heart, then you can give to so much more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know,
Amen.
As far as tithing and stuff like that, businesses that actually give, you know. And I ain't talking about money. But see, it's biblical principles that people use today that they're blessed by them. Because why? They're biblical.
Amen. So, the word works.
The word works.
When you work the word.
That's right. That's what you got to do. Man, oh man, here we are about out of time.
We are. We're out of time this morning. Thank you all. Hopefully, we still have people listening with us. We know we at least had Greg, Miss Elizabeth, and Miss Vincent. Oh, and
Sister
Sims.
Brenda.
So we
Sister
got a
Brenda.
We got a handful. We got a remnant there at least.
That's right.
But we love you guys. We thank you for tuning in with us, and just continue to keep pressing forward. Remember that prayer's the key. We're gonna keep pressing
Amen.
On in prayer. But we love you guys. We will be back here. We'll have Miss Linda Pepper on with us, Lord willing, tomorrow, and excited to hear from her. So we'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Be blessed, guys.